ride around a Bentley coupe. Got no knees, she got me buying her them Bentley shoes. All we do is shop until we drop. All we do is shop until we drop. Right there in the floor. Follow me, all I do is ride around a Bentley coupe. Got no knees, she got me buying her them Bentley shoes. All we do is shop until we drop. All we do is shop until we drop.
This is Axes and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Joining us now, a longtime scribe covering the Detroit Tigers minor league system for a couple of decades, a member of the National Football Foundation, a Football Writers Association of America, my very good friend John Wagner. Find him on Twitter. John Wagner Sport is the handle. Johan, my friend. How are you, partner? How's life? How are things?
Anthony, I am a little slice of heaven. Meanwhile, I assume that you are very tired from spending the weekend scrambling to get back on the bandwagon, aren't you? Did you get back on, baby?
Well, you know, I tried to drive my bandwagon away, and I ended up turning that bandwagon right around. And that statement right there can apply to multiple things. But, John, I tried to tell the people, you got to give it to Memorial Day. They didn't listen. I said, don't get off the train, John. You got to hold on. We ain't done yet.
Okay. You know, and I think what's funniest is we need to have a name for our back and forth banter, because I'm like, I saw three games this weekend and they won all three, but against a dreadful team. And I hate to say alarm bells, because that goes against everything I've been preaching, but there are still issues that need to be resolved. So I'm trying to think, are we Heckle and Jekyll? Are we frickin' Frack? Are we Tom and Jerry? What is the name for our back and forth, Anthony?
That's really good. I should have put some thought into it. As you tried to just tell me that this team that entered this weekend series at 14-18 was like some bunch of schlubs, like some little league team. It's the Baltimore Orioles, John. This ain't no clown school. They might not be the greatest team in Major League Baseball, but they got a hell of a lot more wins than the Tigers going into the series. And the Tigers took three from them. As for what we're going to name ourselves, I don't know. Al and Steve? It seems like those are the two GMs in this area that are under the closest watch. Brad Holmes seems to have really bought some time with Lions fans. And Troy Weaver, I mean, he's building something from the studs up. So maybe Al and Steve might be a good name for us.
Al and Steve. I think you should crowdsource this one, Anthony. Ask your listeners. I'm waiting for somebody to come back with like Heckle and Jekyll or something like that. You know,
I was trying to come up with something in my mind that, you know, was there a TV show in which there was a teacher and a pupil? I was going to try to gun for that, but then you brought this up all of a sudden and now I'm like, oh, I'm scrambling myself right now to come up with something.
Anthony, that's why we crowdsource this. Your audience is smarter than I am by a lot. You can judge for yourself whether they're smarter than you.
Absolutely not.
They'll come up with something clever. You just watch it. I will, when we're done here, I will tweet out a question and see what kind of responses we can get. Okay. But let's get back to the task at hand.
By the way, John, Tigers. I used to tell Matt Patricia, I was the smartest man in the room. And he said, you know what, Bellino, you're absolutely correct. I said, I know. I wouldn't say it if I was wrong.
So how many people were in the room? Just he and you?
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Yeah, well, it'd be hard for him to argue that. There's no question. But we have digressed. Let's get back to the Tigers. Would you like to know the warning alarms?
Yes.
That are about to be set off.
What stands out to you? Where are the biggest issues facing this team? What are they?
The biggest one, I think, is the obvious one, and that's injuries. Could the Tigers have been more beat up right now? I just don't see it. They're leaking oil three lanes wide. They need to get to the service station ASAP. Between the injuries to Michael Pineda, which already makes a thin starting pitching staff even thinner, two injuries to two outfielders, in one game, that isn't exactly a position of depth to start with. So to see outfielders go down is a major concern. And that's the concern, I guess, if you're going to wrap it up in one ball, injuries. And do the Tigers have the depth to deal with injuries, especially at key spots? And they're not built for that. They're just not built for that right here, right now. So that's a big concern. Big concern for me.
And we talked about that before the season, right? We always talk about injuries and staying healthy, and we talk about how so many teams were going to use so many arms because of a shortened spring training and last year being all crooked, and everything's been out of whack now for like two seasons. And it's like, yo, they just need to get a full year under their belt. And it's like, we talk about injuries, but then all of a sudden, it's Riley Green, it's Casey Mize, you know, it's going through the lineup, and it's like these are guys that Tigers fans were really depending on. Thank God for Tarek Skubal. I mean, my goodness, did he throw a gem the other day? 6 innings, 3 hits, 11 strikeouts, 2 walks, 100 pitches. Like, that's awesome. But they've lost a lot of innings from a lot of guys across the lineup.
No question. And but here's the other thing. I mean, losing outfielders, especially in Austin Meadows, that's a key bat in your lineup right there. That is a guy that you've just traded for, expecting to plug holes in the outfield and in your batting order. So to see him go down hurts, and to see that the depth in a thin position has been clipped hurts. I want to tell you, Anthony, I did watch two of the three games, I would say relatively closely this weekend. I feel like I have a better handle on the Tigers. I could tell you that I understand why you were concerned about the offense. I saw some really, really poor, what's the word I'm looking for here? I guess really just the whole principle, the whole process for a couple of guys just is way out of whack. And in particular, Javi Baez at the plate. Somebody has told him that you cannot hit the ball successfully to right field, whether it's in Comerica Park or anywhere. And he is very pull happy. He is extremely pull happy. And it's making him roll over on ground balls. And, you know, instead of taking the ball to right field on a line, hitting it hard and seeing what happens, he's trying to pull everything to left. And instead, that means he's just pulling a ground ball that the shortstop or whomever's on the left side of the infield grabs and throws him out. He looks not good at the plate. The other guy that really scares me is Robbie Grossman. His process isn't a whole lot better, to be honest. I don't know what the situation is there. I'm sure that whomever is covering the Tigers is on it, but his process doesn't look good. It looks like he thinks the only way I can produce is if I hit the ball out of the ballpark. And if there is a more sure way to not hit a home run than to try and hit a home run, I don't know what it is. Especially for guys who are not Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Hank Aaron, all-time home run hitting leaders. And that's not Robbie Grossman. If Robbie Grossman has a good process at the plate, has a good plan at the plate, and takes a good cut at the plate, he'll have success. Right now, he's not taking good cuts. He doesn't look to have a very good plan, and he's struggling. There's one guy that I wish both of those guys would just watch and learn from. Who's Lazarus on this team? Who has risen from the ashes to be a major league hitter once again?
Miguel Cabrera?
Miguel Cabrera!
Now, Lazarus?
He is not Miguel Cabrera from 10 years ago shooting for MVP awards, okay? Don't get me wrong. But man, O'Day, nice passes, good swings, not trying to do too much. The ball's outside. It's that patented Miggy swing to hit it hard to right field and see what happens. And lately, more often than not, he has seen success. It's been great, and I really wish, especially Baez. It's harder for me to tell, but for Baez, he is obviously pull happy. If he would get with Miggy and just say, "Hey, go to right field, baby. You hit it with some. You hit it with some authority. You can have success." I think that would help Javi Baez a lot.
Send it to the Pepsi porch or something like that. Or just send it to the right field line. Like that, that works too.
Just hit it hard the other way. He's a good enough hitter that if he does that, he will be successful, no question.
And my question to you then is, John, because this has been brought up a little bit, who do we point to? I mean, because the hitting coach is Scott Coolbaugh. The assistant hitting coach is your boy, Mike Hessman.
Well, somebody's got to get into the heads of these guys. If they were younger hitters, then I would say, yeah, your hitting coaches are a concern. These are two of your veteran hitters. They should be able to figure this out. They have enough. There are enough stats on the back of their baseball card that they should be able to figure it out, in my opinion.
I sure hope so, because the Tigers offense, which has been lacking, they got off to a good start last night through eight innings. They were up 2-1. And you look at, okay, so two's kind of been the magic number. They get stuck at two and they can't get by it, but they did average four runs scored against the Orioles. And I know it's the Orioles, but you got to start somewhere, right? Every house starts with one brick. So if you're going to, and I'm not talking about the bricks that, you know, Devin Booker and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton were heaving the other night. I'm talking about brick by brick, inch by inch, right? Al Pacino from any given Sunday. It's a game of inches. You got to start somewhere. And if it's a three-game series against the Orioles, that gives you a little bit of confidence. I mean, the Orioles aren't the worst team in their division. They're certainly not the worst team in the league right now.
Wait. They are the worst team in the American League East. I don't care what the standings tell you. Come October 1.
Oh, yeah.
Baltimore is going to be... I mean, the only thing keeping them from being sixth in that division is that there's only five teams in the division. They are hands down, no arguments allowed. That's the worst team in that division. So don't get crazy. And they are not a good team. They are going to be a bottom feeder in the American League.
What do you mean don't get crazy? I live on the edge.
I know. But your point's still good. That's the team that the Tigers were presented this weekend. Beat these guys. Everybody said Tigers did. So let's give them props for that.
You know, it's kind of like, I don't even know how to say this right, but it's like when Alabama starts off with like North Carolina A&T, like you play the game that's on the schedule. When Michigan plays Western, you blow their doors off just like you're supposed to, and you feel good about yourself. Well, the Tigers take care of business, and the fact they were able to score five runs in a game is awesome for a team that just struggles to manufacture any sort of offense. It's one thing to get a register hits. It's another thing to get on base and try to run with some strategy, right? Try to run, you know, at least try to mix it up a little bit. Somebody steal a bag somewhere, please.
Let's not get crazy there. Now,
I live on
if you're going to go here's yes, I know you've said that more than once today. The problem is now the Tigers are run to a degree by analytics. So analytics are going to tell you we don't steal bases. We don't bunt and sacrifice for runs. We're basically shooting for bunching hits together or bunching good at-bats together, let's call it that way, and trying to bunch hits and walks and take advantage of errors to score runs. This team doesn't right now show a lot of pop. Miggy's big weekend set aside. That's why losing Austin Meadows is not good, because there's a guy in your lineup that's supposed to create some thump, you know, not singles or whatnot. So that means you have to bunch more hits and walks together. And that's just a struggle for this team right now. We'll see if it's still a struggle in July and August when it's the dog days of summer and pitching has come back to earth and, you know, things are warm and the ball carries and all that. But you know, right now, it still is a concern, at least to a degree.
This Tigers team, by the way, for the record, with their 225 club average, that's good for 25th in Major League Baseball. When you talk about hitting with some pop and some power, the league-leading LA Angels going into last night had 49 home runs along with the Brewers and the Yankees. That's tied for first, the three-way horse race there. The Tigers have 16 home runs so far this season. That's worst in all of Major League Baseball. If we can go across the hitting stats, I mean, they're at the bottom third of the league, 25th in doubles. Like they're just not, I don't know. They struggle so much at the plate, and you wonder how much of this is you're a professional baseball player, a professional hitter. You need to make that change, or does something else need to change? And of course, you know, we're always very conscious of, you know, who to point the finger to. And a lot of times, you know, we praise Chris Fetter, we praised AJ Hinch. Now all of a sudden the team can't hit the ball. Is this more that they were they overachieved last year, so our expectations may have been inflated?
Yeah, I think, again, this comes back to the conversation we've had the past couple of weeks. It is, the sample size is getting larger. We're almost to a point where we have enough samples to make decisions, but it's not a huge sample size. And the rule of thumb is most guys eventually, when the season's over, they will reflect or mirror what their baseball card says. If they average 15 home runs a year, don't panic that they have one right now. They're probably going to get there. They will probably hit RBI numbers and batting average or whatever number you want to go to. The numbers that you worry more about are the metrics that seem to go up and down for no apparent reason, like batting average in balls in play. That one drives me crazy. I mean, it helps us see what a guy's doing now, but as a predictive measure, I just don't see it because there's a level of randomness to it, if that makes any sense. If it's a randomly generated number, I don't really want to make decisions off of it, frankly. If I know I can count on certain things and a guy's underperformed to that number, then that's a concern. If he's overperformed, I need to deal with that accordingly. There are a fair number of bats in this lineup that are young, so we don't have a lot of reference for their baseball card, whether it's Haas or the Castros or Derek Hill, Daz Cameron. I mean, you know the list. Spencer Torkelson is a big one. We don't have history. History is being created for those guys right now. So it does make it a little trickier to say, you know, what's your expectation there? I do like that the Tigers never, whether it's Hinch or whomever, didn't put a big expectation on him and are riding him. They're just going to go. Whatever he struggles. Deal with it. He hits well, hooray. You know, and the other thing is, by the way, as an aside, man, is he good at first base? Anybody who was part of the group that wanted him to move to third base, bite your tongue. He will really help the Tigers' infield defense by how strong he is at first base. I did not realize how good he is. He is a plus defender. That's going to help this team's defense down the road.
We got plus defenders. We got plus guests here on X's and Pros, and his name is John Wagner. His OPS is like 25,000. John, my friend, is always partner. Thank you so much for the time.
Anthony, it was great as always. I hope you and your listeners have a great week.